I hope that your hearts are, I don't know what the right word is. I was going to say moved. What I mean is just even if you were discombobulated getting to church this morning with the cold, that when you come into the assembly room and you start singing, that your hearts are moved to the Lord, and that you begin to sense Him in our presence, and your heart's softened, and that you're drawn to Him. So it's really a special blessing this morning that Brother John Lehman is here with his wife Connie from Bern, Kansas. And you know who that is, right? That's Leanne's mom and dad. So we're so glad. And Brother John is going to preach this morning. And then, of course, Brother Kevin Knapp from Bloomington, his wife Dixie is with us. Elisa and Clint are serving. This is Elisa's dad. So we're glad to have him. He'll finish up this morning and preach this afternoon. And then you know Brother Ron. So welcome, and we'll turn it over to Brother John.
We're always thankful we can come and we can worship God. We can worship God in the beauty of His holiness. And as we come into His house, it's just a refreshing time from our lives. Because from the various avenues and walkways that we've been on this past week, they've all been different, but we come here together this morning and we're going to focus on His Word. Why are we focusing on His Word? Because it's Him that we believe in. It's Him that has prepared a wonderful home for us someday in heaven. And because of that, we come together today and we worship Him. We praise Him and we just give thanks for His goodness that He showers unto us. So let's look into His Word this morning, believing that a blessing awaits for us. You know, I just was thinking this morning, this is a lot of times when we think about it, as we begin a new year, we sometimes begin with Genesis 1. And we think about the book of Genesis being the first book of the Bible, Revelation being the last. Because it's a beginning that God made. And yet, as we look at the beginning of that which God made, it didn't always go the best. And we see why it didn't go the best. It's because of what man reverted to, the selfish nature that he had. So let's just turn to the book of Genesis here this morning. And why don't we just read from Chapter 6, because there's just a lot of first in Genesis. It's the creation of the world. It's the creation of the first man. It's the creation of the first woman. It's the first children that were born. It's the first murder that was. And we can then read here in chapter 6 as that continued to progress, man was going downward. Let's look at chapter 6 of Genesis. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair. They took wives that were chosen. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for he that is also as flesh, yet his days shall be 120. They were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, the creeping thing, the fowls of the air. It repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're thankful that there was Noah. We're thankful despite the downward spiral of man. There were those that still stood out, and we're even thankful today many years later when we even see and we talk about and lament about the condition of this world, and yet we find that there are still men that God raises up in various places to continue His Word, to continue the purpose for man living here on this earth, and that is to prepare for a home in heaven someday. And we know as we worship God, as we draw close to God, may we always have that desire, even as we sing in number 157, as the heart for water panteth, so my soul cries, Lord, to Thee. Lord, that which can bring me comfort can I find alone in Thee. And I hope and pray we've come together today for comfort. Yeah. We're glad we're not outside in a tent today. I don't know if we could say we're there comfortable then. We're thankful we've got the facilities here of this church, and that comfort is fine. But when we think about real comfort and peace, just to be around God's people, just to pray together, that should be comfort and reassurance of the goodness of God. Sing at your wish, 157. Let's pray together. Lord, we count it a privilege that we can come and commune with Thee this morning. Thankful we can come and worship Thee. Thankful we can be here in the church in Indianapolis. Thankful that we can be in the family of God. And this morning we've come and we've sang praises to Thee in song. We have met one another with a warm handshake, even as we greeted one another, Heavenly Father, in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, it just reminds us that we're never alone, and we aren't anywhere ever alone. We're always just a prayer away from Thee, O God, but it's just also nice to have others that we can call our brothers and sisters and feel their warmth as we greet them, as we maybe give one another a hug, as we give one another a special squeeze. please, Heavenly Father, a pat on the back, a word of encouragement. Lord, that's wonderful that we can come and do that. And yet, beside all those warm fuzzies that we can give one another, we're thankful we've got a greater warmth that's coming today, and that is from Thy Word. And so we just pray this morning for the presence of Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou, God, would come and speak to us. Lord, we are just grateful that we can depend upon our God in heaven who knows all things. And so we just pray that Thou, God, would ever inspire the speakers today to wait upon the Holy Spirit rather than even the knowledge of our own doing. And so we're just thankful and grateful, Heavenly Father, that we might step aside and let the Spirit rule. Again, today we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for Jesus more than anything else. We are grateful He came into this world to die. We're thankful for His shed blood. And we just pray that many more souls would yet seek that way. And we just pray, Lord, that Thou would yet call. And if there are those individuals here that don't know Jesus Christ, they'd recognize today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of opportunity. And to those believers, Heavenly Father, may we be encouraged as we move on. Heavenly Father, knowing the many opportunities we have to be living witnesses for Thee. If the Word convicts us, Heavenly Father, that we need to be motivated more. If the Word convicts us that we have become lackadaisical. If the Word convicts us, Heavenly Father, that we have reverted too many of our own selfish interest, Heavenly Father. If the Word convicts us that we've let even interest of this world consume us with more time than we don't have the opportunity to worship, to pray, Heavenly Father, we just recognize this morning that all of our hearts would be prepared to hear the Word. So again, bless us. We think of many other people and places today, those in the mission fields, Heavenly Father. We have people of this church that they pray for, have families abroad, Heavenly Father, that are spreading the gospel, and many other places, Lord, and we pray for each one in different parts of the world, not only from this church, not only from the Apostolic Christian Church, but there's many sincere Christians in different parts of the world, and preaching this morning, or already have been preaching, or will later today, in conditions that are not anywhere near as comfortable as we have here this morning. So, again, we just are so thankful for Jesus. Again, bless this church, bless this congregation, bless those that minister the Word, bless the leadership of the church, bless the transition, Heavenly Father, that's going to be taking place here in the coming months, Lord willing. We just pray that Thy Holy Spirit might ever continue to guide and move and unify this church together. We praise Thee and thank Thee for all these requests. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of St. Luke is open this morning, and let's just turn to St. Luke. St. Luke's Gospel. And we'll just remain what is before us in the 19th chapter of St. Luke. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was of the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and couldn't for the press, because he was little of stature, and he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying, he was gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I've read 10 verses of St. Luke this morning. And as we look at God's word as this morning, we think of the consistency of it. We think of the comfort it does bring into us, that there isn't changes, there isn't amendments to this word, that this is the focus. We refer it many times, it's the roadmap to heaven. It's the roadmap that doesn't change. It's not like today we can have, we depend upon the Holy Spirit, and we know the Holy Spirit is always going to be there, because it's going to continue to guide regardless of what's before us. You know, I remember here a few months ago, we decided to take a trip to the Northeast, and I was going to rent a car, so I thought, well, I'll save some bucks and take one of our GPSs that I have from home, although I had one on my phone, but I thought it might be easier to follow one of those. So I just threw it in the bag, and we get out to the Northeast, and, you know, we plug it in. And guess what? It was an old GPS, and it didn't get us where we wanted to go because it was out of date. It was to guide us and direct us. We were going to depend upon it because, you know, what we come to, we say today, an atlas is too burdensome and all those sort of things. But what I'm getting at is the consistency of the Holy Spirit is the same. It doesn't change, regardless of lots of things that change here in our lives. And believe you me, lots of things do change in our lives. Things that we think that might be the future and how we're going to get to different places, all of a sudden we don't go to those places. Things change. And so we wait upon the Spirit's direction. And so that's why we just give thanks to God for His faithfulness and His consistency. And as we looked there and we read there in the Old Testament, we talked about the beginning of the creation. We talked about the beginning of man. We talked about the first sin of man. And then we see as far as mankind deviated and walked away from God. And there was lots of wickedness that says that it repented the Lord. He'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart because of what their thoughts were evil continually. So we think about that happened back then, thousands of years ago. And here we are today, and we lament about the various conditions of the world. But the comforting thing is, God is in control. He was in control back then. We found that there was Noah who found grace, and Noah rose up. But even after Noah, and we could read further in Genesis, things that happened. And after the flood, we see what happened was that people came together and they said, we don't want to ever have, if there's a flood again, let's build us a tower. We're going to take control. We're going to take control of the world. We're going to take care of our destiny. And guess what? God took care of that as well. And it just kind of reminds us of the situations that we're in here in our lives. Sometimes we think things are, we need to get more control on things. You know, you think back of 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago, many people were concerned about a presidential election, and we still are concerned. And that's why we need to pray, and I didn't even mention it this morning, to pray for our president-elect, pray for our cabinet, pray for our leaders, and about the many, many negative things that might happen as a result of this election. And guess what? The tables were turned totally upside down than what the projections, what people were thinking about. Again, who's in control? Not man. It's God. Even though man is increasing in knowledge, but it's a lot of knowledge is the wrong way. Because when we think about the knowledge that we have, it should be for the benefit of glorifying God and not praising ourselves. When we think about real knowledge and wisdom. We can read about that in Ecclesiastes, and that is to fear God and keep His commandments. And if we have that wisdom, you know, it says there is, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Now let's think about that. We are to get wisdom, see God, increase in knowledge. You know, we can read in the New Testament on those wonderful stepping stones about what knowledge brings forth and all those different things. I think it's in Peter that the benefit of knowledge. Let's think about your knowledge today. Is it increasing sorrow? It should. It should. Why? What is the most important thing that you know? Right now, what's the most important thing you know? You know that Jesus Christ died for your sin. You know you've been born again. You've been redeemed by His precious blood. You know that. That's wonderful. But what about people that don't know Him? Are you grieved? Do you have sorrow in your hearts that there's still sin? That there's still people that haven't turned to God? Do you pray for people? Do you pray for people specifically? Or are you just floating along and, yes, I've been forgiven and I have peace and I've got a job, I've got a home, I've got a family, and I'm so consumed with lots of things and there's just a lot of things that we have in life. I've got a wonderful home. I can go on vacation, and we can list all kinds of things. We're so focused on ourselves, but let's ask each one of us this morning, as far as that in the time segment, how much time do we devote to God? How much time do we devote in prayer? How much time do we devote unburdening our hearts for individuals that we know that don't know Jesus Christ? And I'm sure all of you have those. All of you have maybe your a spouse. It could be a brother or a sister. Might be a parent. It might be a co-worker at work. You need to continue to pray. Pray to God for them. And not that you outwardly mourn, not that you outwardly mourn for that, but remember, you fulfill the scripture in Ecclesiastes 1:18 that we can increase knowledge increaseth sorrow. Not all a bad thing, not all a negative thing. It's a positive thing when we look to God for the right knowledge that we need to have. And we know that knowledge is continuing to increase. And we see all kinds of changes. You know, what did we hear? The people that are born in 2017, those will be the first children, the first people born that will not know how to drive a car. Think about it. They won't need to. Everything's going to be out of. This is what they're projecting. Okay, that kind of knowledge. Well, that's changes that's going to take place, probably. That may be wrong. That's somebody's projection. But we see and hear more and more about cars without drivers that are taking place. All those different changes. And man's wisdom, it is increasing. We know that. You know, maybe I've mentioned this before, but you know, you look back in studies, and someone did a study one time about how many thousands of years it took mankind's knowledge to double. And then you get down into the one you went through the Dark Ages. It was kind of a plateau. And then the Industrial Revolution, it cut down from doubling every maybe to 300 years to 150 years. And then we talk about in our generation how much it's doubling, and the segment gets smaller and smaller and smaller until someone said, you know, we're going to go to bed smart and wake up dumb. That's how quick knowledge is doubling. And so we realize that there's all kinds of knowledge, but the important thing is we know the most important knowledge is our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we do all we can in our commitment and service to God. Because, you know, all of us, we see this spiral downward of man here from the Garden of Eden, not that many years to the time of Noah. How did they get there? They got there by people being selfish and thinking only of themselves, having the wrong kind of knowledge. And God, it says, God saw that wickedness. And it says, the Lord said, I'm going to destroy man. And then Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and there were just a few souls saved after that flood. Tremendous, tremendous rain, tremendous things that happened. And then there was a new beginning. And as I mentioned, we get to the Tower of Babel, and God scattered the people. And then we can go through that whole books of the New Old Testament. And what do we see? Constant yo-yos of kingdoms of falling. Even after the children of Israel came from Egypt, they were in bondage in Egypt and escaped. And there, we know in a few generations how that also deteriorated. And so let's don't get too shook up about all the deterioration we see today. The important thing is that we are committed. We are committed. We have opportunity to speak. We have opportunities to be a living witness for Jesus Christ. Let's use those opportunities. But let's also remember, we aren't in control. We individually can't change. God has a timetable for each and every one of us. He knows, the Bible says, the very numbers of the hair on our head. That's how precise God is. He knows your future. He knows what's ahead. He knows where you've come from. He knows right now what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking about. And the important thing is we have the right knowledge that we're serving God, that there has been a change. And we pray today, if there's anyone here whose heart hasn't been changed, God is calling you today. He's calling you today just as he called this individual that we read about here in St. Luke's Gospel as Jesus entered and passed through the city of Jericho. Jericho is a city that's not very far from Jerusalem. It's a city that I believe that's right, either that or Damascus, or one of the oldest cities. It's classified as one of the older cities in the world. It's also a site where there was some bitter springs, I believe, and either Elijah or Elisha cured that. So there's just a number of things that happened in the Bible in Jericho. It's also the city, I believe, that the individual that fell among thieves is going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho is mentioned a number of times. And here we see in the city of Jericho a man that was chief among the publicans, and it says he was rich. So a very, very prominent individual that we could compare to maybe some individual that you can think about today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet this individual, even though he was rich, he wasn't satisfied, was he? His curiosity, when he heard about this Jesus, was going to come there. It says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He wanted to see if he was really real. And so Zacchaeus was not a man tall. And the young children that are here today, I could ask you right now, let's hear you sing that Zacchaeus song. A lot of you could probably do it. But we know he was a very short man. And so he couldn't see because of the press, short of stature. And so what he did, he climbed up into that sycamore tree. If you go to Jericho today, they claim there's a tree there that could have been the one that Zacchaeus climbed up. We don't know for sure. But it says when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down today. I'm going to abide in your house. You know, what's that tell us? It gives us reassurance, doesn't it? That wherever we go, Jesus knows where we're at. He knows where we're at. And we can call upon him just as he knows where you're at right now. He knows where you're at. He can speak to your heart right now. Maybe there's someone in here today that has a heart like Zacchaeus. Maybe there isn't. Maybe every single one in this assembly have been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus. But we pray and we plead and we sorrow. We sorrow that if there's anyone here that has a sin in their life that hasn't been covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he's looking down upon you today. He's telling you, make haste. Make haste. Don't drag your feet. Don't drag your feet to come and follow the Lord. And that's what he was telling Zacchaeus. He says, make haste and come down. Today I must abide at thy house. And so, all of us, I'm sure, that have been redeemed can remember the time when we met Jesus. When we met Jesus. And he said, it's time. It's time that we get together. It's time that you and I know each other better. It's time that the sin in your life has to be covered by my shed blood. And that was a joyous time. And I'm sure many of you right now are racing through your minds and you're thinking back to that time when you met Jesus, when you knew there was something that you needed to do, when that would be that this burden of sin you recognize and you had the faith, because that's what it takes. You can say, okay, yeah, I believe, Lord. Do you really have the faith? Words are cheap. Talk is cheap. Do you really feel it in your heart? When we really could say in our heart and we had the faith to believe that Jesus died for me, even me, that I could have a promise of life eternal in heaven. We had that faith, and then we made haste. We fell on our knees. We acknowledged that we had sinned, and we said, here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. Take my life and let it be, as we sing in a hymn, consecrated, Lord, for thee. When we could say those words, and if there's anyone here today, do it now. We have no promise. We have no promise for tomorrow. Because Zacchaeus, what did he say? Jesus, you're looking good. Jesus, I've heard a lot of things. He didn't do that at all, did he? He saw this was his opportunity. Because even though he was the chief among the publicans, even though he was rich, apparently he had come to the conclusion those riches were not bringing him peace. And as we read further in his confession, we can see where those riches weren't bringing him peace. And so he made haste. He came down, received him joyfully. And it says, when they saw it, they murmured and said, he's gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. So here it was. And I'm sure, what would some of us say today if the most corrupt individual in your town and Jesus was coming and you're going to say, where's he going to stay? Who's going to feed him tonight? Who's going to dine with him? Is it going to be this minister? This spiritual leader? And you'd say, no, not really. He's going to the house of so-and-so. You mean that guy we just read in the paper that is so corrupt and he got such a wonderful lawyer that gets him off the hook all the time? That's where he's going? We're adding some words here. We have no idea, but it could be. That could have been the reputation that Zacchaeus had. And that's why they were murmuring about it. And Zacchaeus, obviously, that didn't stop Jesus. Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew that they were saying, but that didn't keep him from going to Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus says, Lord, behold, the half of my goods, these goods that I have, I don't need them. I'm going to give them to the poor. He says, those places where I've taken by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. We're glad to restore. Glad to restore where we've taken. And I'm sure many of you in this room can remember the time when you came to find the Lord. When you came to find the Lord and you had to make restitution. You had to go and ask for forgiveness. You had to go ask for sorrow if you'd taken something. You know, and the joy that you were overwhelmed how you were received. You know, I can remember, and I had a bad reputation, for sneaking into our local outdoor theater. And I remember going to visit that man. And he wouldn't take any money. But he said, you know, how come? You guys, you're so corrupt and cause trouble out there. But once you change, you never come back and see me. And so, but that's kind of a side note. But the fact is, I had to be moved by his forgiveness. And I'm sure many of you experienced the same sort of thing when you had to offer. And that's what happens when we're willing to give, when we're willing to make things right, knowing that Jesus, why would he do it? Why was he willing to go and restore? You know, you can read accounts and you can read testimonies of individuals, prominent individuals today, that know that if they go restore, if they go confess, they stand the chance of maybe serving time in prison, serving times in corruption. And you can read a very many accounts of where the mercy has been given, where that doesn't happen. You know, you think about the IRS. Do they still have that, what do they call it, some kind of a fund? People that if you didn't pay your taxes for so many years back, and you finally, I can't even think of the name of it, you send money to the IRS for no taxes. It's a conscious fund. Is that what it's called? You ever heard of it? I think that's what it is. But anyway, so let's pray today that if any of you have anything in your heart that's burdening you and you need, take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus and he'll go with you. He'll be with you there. And so he was going to restore, and what did Jesus say? And it's what Jesus said to you when you surrendered. It's what Jesus will say to you if any of you are here today that don't know him and you're going to make haste and come and see him. He's going to say, this day is salvation come to your house, for as much as he's come to son of Abraham, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful way to end this morning when we think about what better thing can we have come to our house? What greater thing, what most exciting thing that we can have come to our house other than, and greater than, nothing can be greater than Jesus Christ.
That's a great place to end, isn't it? So you think a little bit about Zacchaeus being the chief of the publicans. So what, a publican was a tax collector. He was engaged by the Roman government to collect taxes for them. So if he was the chief of them, he had people under him. He was not a popular man. And he had the opportunity and the ability to extort. Because who was going to govern the tax collector? And from that, he had gained a lot of wealth. And what's very touching here, and I thought what was so interesting, as Brother John was sharing from the Old Testament to the New, and the Old Testament says everything was evil continually. And if we listen to news, you think, boy, about everything is evil continually. And then you look around and you come here and there's such a joy and excitement. You think, what's different? What has happened? It is that Christ has come into the world to change that. And as Brother John shared, he did that with Zacchaeus. And when Jesus came into Zacchaeus' world, the world changed. And it was moving to hear Brother John share, haste. The response was, I want you to come to my house. I want you to come to my house. And regardless of where our heart is, whether we know him or not, that should be our heart's cry. Jesus, come to my house. Let's conclude by sharing number 52 in the Zion's Harp. We thank God for His precious word. Ask a brother to close in prayer, please.
Dear loving and gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we are so grateful to Thee, Father God, for all Thy goodness, mercy, and truth. We thank Thee, Lord, for helping us each day, Lord. It is a gift, Lord. We thank Thee for all Your gifts in the present, the future, and even in the past, Lord. We pray for our leaders of the land. We pray for the cabinet. We pray for Supreme Court and all the courtrooms everywhere, Father God. We pray for schools and many, many other things, Lord, that we take for granted. Please bless this food, that the abundance of the earth to nourish our souls, bodies, and minds. Thank Thee, Father God, for the spirit of truth. And we ask Thee, Lord, that Thou will bless the hands that are prepared that for us. We can say many other things, Lord, but we just want to be humble, Lord, poor in spirit. And we thank Thee for, if we ever have to have an attitude adjustment, we can go to the Beatitudes, Lord, in Matthew 5:3-9. It's in Thy name we do thank Thee and praise. Amen.